Romans 10, 16 through 21. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? For Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. But Isaiah is very bold, and he says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. But to Israel he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. Father in heaven, I pray that as we look at this word today, and as we reflect upon why Israel rejected, having received the law, having received the prophets, having now an opportunity to see that Messiah they have been longing for, standing in front of them, performing miracle after miracle, and yet they still rejected him. Lord, I can't even imagine. Father, as we come to this discussion today, Lord, I pray that we would understand truly the mystery of the gospel in front of us. Understand it not to solve the mystery, but to accept it by faith, to confess with our mouth, and to believe in our heart the work of Jesus Christ, and know that anyone here today who has a desire to receive Christ in their life can and will today, if they would only just simply say yes. Yes, like Karen did. Lord, to see your effectual call in her life, to place her in the right place with the right people, and then to see her then participate in her willingness to simply accept your divine care for her. Lord, I pray that there's anyone here today who needs to no longer reject Jesus Christ, to simply say yes, that today would be their day. Amen. Have a seat. The Bible says in Revelation 3:20 in regard to the simple gospel, that behold, I stand at the door and knock. The Savior is waiting today. And as we think about the reality of that gift of Jesus Christ, we think of the simplicity of that gift. We have to know that for him, it was not that simple. The simplicity of the gospel is simple for us, but heart-wrenching and difficult, and very much well planned out for us by a divine God, a sovereign God, who had you in mind when he not only created this world, but sent his Son, Jesus Christ. The answer, really the real question, is, are you willing to open that door today? If you would confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, that can happen. We have been working our way through Romans chapter 10. I know this sounds ironic, but put our minds around the complicated, simple plan of salvation. Complicated for him, simple for us. And in doing so, we began to look at just some general truths, how Jesus revealed himself. He illustrated first as he revealed himself. Before we realized we needed him, we had to first understand our own condition. And as we looked at the condition of Israel, and we look at our own condition, we see that we are all in the same boat. We are lost without hope. But praise God, in verses 2 through 3, He sees our confusion. He understands our confusion. He knows the problem, and he illustrates an answer with a conclusion. And the conclusion was that there is hope in Jesus Christ. There's nothing, the confusion simply was that there's nothing good about you. There's nothing about you that's good enough for God to receive you. There's nothing about you that he needs, except he wants to show you grace. The Bible says, remember, we've talked about this, God demonstrated his love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. That clearly illustrates to us that our confusion is addressed through the grace that is shown to us through Jesus Christ. And the conclusion is that you cannot find hope in yourself. The Bible says that salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. That salvation is only through the gift and the love that has been demonstrated to us by the Father through Jesus Christ. So Jesus was revealed. But then we began to continue to look through the passage, and we saw in verses 5 through 10 that in order to get there, there is a procedure. A procedure that is not subjective. It's not something, well, you know, you hear people say those things, well, we all have our different roads and all roads lead to the same place. No, there is no different roads. There is one way to the Father. Jesus said it himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. The procedure to coming to faith in Jesus Christ is quite simple. Acknowledge I have need of him and then place my faith in him. Now we know that's true because of the promises that God has given us in his word. In verses 11 through 13 then illustrated for us the promises that we can count on. Promises like if we would confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, then we can have salvation. Promises like John 3:16 that we all know and we love so dear. Beautiful promises that are based upon the provision that is only found in Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the provision to the fulfillment of those promises, and Jesus is the only procedure of which to get back to a relationship with God the Father. And that brings us to where we are today. And that is Jesus rejected. As I was mentioning this morning, it seems quite ironic that as we think about Jesus being rejected and you think about the relationship that Israel had with God the Father, and we think about Yahweh and his dealing with the children of Israel, all in the Old Testament now coming into the New Testament as we see it, it makes you wonder, how could a people who hold so much, give so much credence to the teachings of the prophets who had the law. The law was given to them and had seen and experienced the work of Jesus Christ now, as we see in this passage, continue to reject having received so much truth. I tell you what, if there's one thing that illustrates that salvation is only by the effectual call of the Holy Spirit, it is this passage right here. Because if it's just a matter of receiving truth, then we wouldn't even have this passage in front of us today. Because truth is all they had. The problem was they didn't have enough truth. The problem was they would not accept the truth as it was before them. There was confusion. Look at verses 16 through 20 this morning. 16 through 20. Why have they not obeyed? Why was the confusion? They had the law. They had heard the report of the coming Messiah. They even had the Messiah in their midst doing miracles in front of them. They had even seen the Lord turn the Gentiles and save the Gentiles. And I think part of the confusion and part of the problem here in them receiving Jesus Christ was their own pride in not wanting the Gentiles to have the same relationship with God. And you think about what is the very thing that often interferes with our understanding of the gospel, what causes our confusion. And just like it was for them, often it is our what? Our pride. Well, I'm good enough. Or I can do this. Or I look at myself and I compare myself to, you know, that Henry Tim Schaefer, he's just a mean kid. I'm good compared to him. He's not. He's an awesome dude. But when we begin to compare ourselves to other people, and we forget that it's not about us, that it's all about him, the pride sets in, and we begin to have the same confusion that they were having in this passage. As we think about this confusion, it is so important for us to look at our modern day churches where the Word of God is preached, where Jesus Christ's testimony is complete, and we have the entire record of God's testimony to man from Genesis to Revelation, and we have the opportunity to turn back and read the back of the book, and we know, according to our eschatology, we win, amen? We know those truths, and yet so many people still choose to reject that truth today. Because of the confusion of our own pride. People hear truth. People know truth. And yet they still refuse to come to Jesus. Why? I wish I had a complete answer for you. I don't. I do know they don't receive truth because they've rejected truth. Why they reject truth? Only that person, as they stand before God, to give an answer to that. I suppose it goes all the way back to what we learned in chapter 9. When chapter 9 reveals to us that man is dead in his sin and headed to torment and separation from God until he's awakened to his condition by the grace of God. And I guess the mystery is that you ask, well, how come can anybody who wants to be saved be saved? Yes. And anybody that wants to be saved will receive that effectual call that Karen was speaking of this morning. How does God make that factor in with man's choice and man's will? I don't know. There's the mystery. I can't explain that. But it's true nonetheless. And frankly, not to be too abrasive, but it's none of our business. It's none of your business who God calls. When you look at our job description, nowhere is that found in our job description. If you put together a job description as evidenced by Scripture, nowhere does it say one of your jobs is to determine whether this person is loved by God. None of your business. Our business is simply to tell the world that God loves them through Jesus Christ, and there's hope in your confusion. And if you would simply confess with your mouth, as Romans 10 says, the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in your heart that he's raised from the dead, you will be saved or accepted or loved. That is simple. That's simple. And yet we make it so often complicated. Look, the Bible says in Matthew 13:13, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. It is a situation for which there are no easy answers, no easy cures. However, it is the way things are, and we must accept them by faith. There are those who see not. There are those who hear not. But we need to make sure they have a preacher, so that when they stand before God, the only one they have to blame is their own selves for rejecting the truth that God has given them. And we are the preachers that are to take them that message. Listen, the Bible says very clearly that the harvest is white and it's ready. It's plentiful, ready to harvest. But what is the problem? The problem is not that God is not choosing the right people. The problem is not that people don't understand the gospel because it's too complicated. The problem, God tells us, is what? That the laborers are few and need to get about doing what God has caused them to do. And that is be the ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 21. It says, but Israel, he says, all day long I've stretched out my hands to a disobedient, contrary people. I guess the truth I want you to get from this is that God is not going to stop reaching out. all day long, he says. I've reached out to them. What does that communicate to me? That communicates to me, I will never mind the depths of God's grace. He continued to reach out. Here the apostle quotes the prophet Isaiah and reminds them of his love and his patience toward them. Even though they have continued to reject him, he still continues to reach out to them and he wants them to turn to him. Throughout their history, Israel have been guilty of rejecting the clear path that they had been given by God and somehow choosing their own path. They attempted to reach God through self-effort. They attempted to reach God through self-righteousness, both of which failed terribly. And this condition of Israel was spoken of by the Lord Jesus Christ in the parable in Luke chapter 14, verses 21 through 24. And because of this hard-heartedness and pride was part of the equation where God was going to continue to reach out to them by reaching out to someone else. He says, fine, let me show you what this relationship is supposed to look like since you're taking advantage of it, since you're ignoring it, since you don't understand the beauty of what I'm trying to show you and convey to you, and let me reach out to these people you hate. And through that, we see a beautiful picture of what grace truly is. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you kill the prophets, stone them which are sent to you. How often would I have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Rejection. They had been given God's plan of salvation, and they simply refused to follow it. And as a result, they placed themselves under the condemnation and judgment of God. God did not place them there. They placed themselves because of their own rejection. And that is still true today. God does not send anyone to hell. God does not send anyone to hell. Hell was not created for you. Hell was created for the devil. And when you choose what team you're going to follow, you align yourself by rejecting Jesus Christ with the only other option. See, the fact of the matter is, there are two narratives being written for your life. Those narratives are being written by two authors. Don't want to burst your bubble, but you're not one of them. There's God, who has a narrative for your life, and he's writing a story of your life. And there's the devil. The simple answer is this. Who do you choose to write your story? One is a tragedy. It's a tragedy that leads to heartache and destruction. The other is a heroic tale, a heroic story of a villain and a bride and a hero who gave his life to save his bride. Who's writing your story? I would pray that we would do as Peter commanded in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. When he said, wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will not fail. You know, the epic fail is not that wedding disaster that went wrong. The epic fail is not that band that tried to play and they sounded horrible. The epic fail is a people who have an opportunity to come into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ and reject it. Because that epic fail is going to take them into an eternity of failure. Whereas, all you have to do is simply understand that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be, what does it say? Saved. Saved from the heartache and the pain of eternal separation from God. Saved from your own demise. Let's pray. Father in heaven. Father, I'm so grateful that you've illustrated so clearly for us Israel's rejection of Jesus Christ. And Father, I've been there. I've watched the movies. And I've watched those Jewish leaders. And I thought, how in the world can they know so much truth and not see that the Savior is standing before them? How could they be so deceived? And yet, when I look in our world today, I still see the same pride, the same arrogance that was evident that day, which caused the rejection of Jesus Christ. That rejection is still causing people to walk in the pit of their sin, to walk in the mire and the destruction. They are still under the control and the power of sin in their life, not realizing that freedom is just a breath away through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, there's many people here today. I cannot look into each heart, nor would I want that responsibility to determine their relationship with you. I can only look within my own heart. Father, as I am here today, as I look at each person and imagine their story, I hear the various excuses many times that are used, maybe later, maybe when my kids are older, maybe when I have more information. Time after time you've been knocking at that door. Father, I pray that today is the day that maybe someone opens that door, that they acknowledge that effectual call that you've had upon their life, that they come to a place of understanding the simplicity of the gospel and no longer reject you. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you need to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it's as simple as that passage in Romans 10 said. Confess with your mouth. Confess that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior. Confess that Jesus Christ was that Savior, died on the cross for your sin, went into the grave, defeated death on the third day, and has now conquered death on your behalf, and ask him to be your Lord and Savior. It's as simple as saying those words, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need you to be my Savior. I confess my sin. Please be Lord of my life. I want to follow after you. I love you. I need you. I'm lost without you. You know, if you said those words just now, and maybe you didn't say them out loud, maybe you said them quietly in your mind, it's the one, the most wonderful prayer you've ever prayed. Maybe you said that prayer and you were supposed to have said it a long time ago, and you're worried about what other people are going to think if you now doubted that, and now you said that prayer. None of that matters. That's just pride. That's the very thing that caused Israel to reject Jesus in the first place. None of that matters except for that effectual call. Listen, you would not feel the desire to express that prayer had it not been for the Holy Spirit guiding you. I'm asking an important question. I'm not going to ask you to stand and come forward. I'm not going to embarrass you. But I want to be able to pray with you. Say, Pastor, I just want to let you know, I said that prayer, and I accepted Jesus today. I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that he was raised for the dead on my behalf. And Pastor, I just want you to pray for me. If that's where you're at this morning, can you just raise your hand? And then I see that hand. Anyone else? Father, thank you so much for the gospel that is so clearly simple to us. If we would set aside our pride and confess with our mouth and believe that you are Lord and Savior, if Jesus Christ did defeat death on our behalf, then we can have salvation. Father, thank you. Thank you for giving of your Son. Jesus, thank you for sacrificing yourself for my behalf. Lord, I pray that we would walk in a way that shows our stewardship of that relationship. Walk in a way that says, not only is this relationship important because you made it important, but it's going to be important because I make it important. And I want to share that truth with others and see others come into that same relationship. Amen. We're going to continue worshiping.